A reading from Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
So, several weeks ago, I found myself a wide-eyed American tourist standing in the Tower of London. Most people think of the Tower as the secure residing place for the crown jewels of Great Britain, and indeed all of those jewels are there to see in their massive, shining brilliance. But to me, one of the more fascinating things about the tower itself was its magnificent collection of medieval armor. Dozens upon dozens of suits of splendid, shining armor of every kind and type. Armor for short people, armor for 7-foot-plus giants, armor for horses, armor for Henry VIII. And by the way, that suit of armor was made for a rather rotund man. I think you could have fit about 2 guys into his suit. Even suits of armor for young boys. This was cutting-edge battlefield technology back in the day. Metalwork at its finest, craftsmanship that's almost impossible to duplicate even now, and at great cost. Those who could afford such equipment were fortunate to increase the likelihood of survival on the battlefield. Pity the poorer folk, the peasants, who were left to fend for themselves with solitary axe or club or spear while clothed only in a tunic. Was there envy toward those who had the wherewithal to put on those skins of forged metal? Who knows how many lives, human or horse, were saved by those suits, now standing eerily silent? Or how many fell to the ground with their last breath while still wearing that supposedly impenetrable suit of protective gear? Here was a parade of human history in struggle and resolution, in suffering and in triumph, and yet as I gazed upon that tower exhibition, I couldn't help but think, all of this fancy armor now stands empty. People of another place and time, the folks who once wore it, well, they all died. And all those suits of armor, to one extent or another, simply delayed the inevitable for their wearers, those noblemen of a long-gone era. Death exempts no one. Personal armor, like the stuff on display in the tower, gave the wearer a sense of assurance, at least for a time and a place. But in the long view, that security was only transient, a passing illusion. Oh, how we talk and act today as if we were living under a similar fantasy. If only we would look deeper within and discover the strength that lies there, then life would get a little bit better. If only we would fortify our personal defenses, increase our security. If only we would construct stronger shields and barriers and walls against our everyday demons, not with suits of armor, but with harder work and longer hours. A fatter investment portfolio, a more rigorous program of disciplined self-improvement, better health, exercise, diet. If only we would be reading the right authors. If only we had the right toys. If only we would make better use of the technology at our disposal. If only we would find ourselves in diversions and distractions, in anesthetics and amusements. Well, then, we could take a breather from the daily grind. Then we would find the resilience and the strength that we covet. If only we found all this, then all of life's challenges and tragedies, hurts and wounds, would simply ping off of us supermen and superwomen like pea gravel on the side of a trash can. Wouldn't that be great? Satan laughs at such delusion. And then here we have St. Paul saying to the church, repent. There is a far more superior armor. Put it on. Then and only then will you stand. Today we're installing two men, servants of our Lord, into new and additional duties. One has already known the joy and the fiery darts of working in this building. He's experienced the pressured sleeplessness of what it is to constantly carry a cell phone that might receive a call from at any moment, 24/7, with a missionary's dire cry for help from the other side of the globe. And he's answered those calls in the depths of deepest night. He's wrestled with budgets and personnel changes, invented process and procedure where none previously existed. He's engaged the heartfelt, sometimes tearful struggle of our field staff, our office workers, even when there seemed to be no apparent way forward. The other man now willingly bears the burden of laboring under two employers simultaneously, and it's no picnic to work either in the Office of International Mission or at the seminary. Everyone sins while we're waging this cosmic war together. He's played a lead role in the formation of fellow pastors and deaconesses who serve Christ's body. He's taught a multitude of students what it is to possess and exercise Christ's compassionate heart from the office of the holy ministry. And how that pastoral heart leaps for joy at the sight of fellow sinners gathered in unending feast and fellowship around the table of the Lord. But while he was teaching that, always ever teaching, he persisted in bringing his own pastoral heart and God-given gifts directly into the parish and the classrooms and the mission fields, both near and far. Christian and Art, the only reason that you have stood firm in these years that God has given you, And the only reason that you're going to stand firm in these new callings given you today is that you have been made strong in the Lord. None of this was your own doing. It happened when you put on Christ, or rather when Christ was put on you at the font. If it were not for the armor of his truth, his righteousness, his gospel, one faith in this Son of God, the salvation that he alone has earned and freely given to you, if it were not for the divine word so sharp and piercing, so living and active, well then, if it were not for such armor as Paul describes, everything would have been utterly lost for you, for me, for everyone. We would have been as lifeless as those armor suits in the tower. And along with you, we would have despaired as a people helpless and without hope, while the enemy decimated and destroyed and pulled us captive down into the eternal flames. No earthly armor, no wall or barrier of our own construction, no defense of ours would have ever held up to that onslaught. Thank God. That's not what happened. Upon his cross, left with nothing of earthly magnificence or workmanship, stripped even of his tunic, absent of any worldly shield or weapon, in the Son's sacred blood shed, your Lord Jesus won the costliest victory. And now, no matter how much the devil may howl and roar about that, no matter how the accuser may attempt every vain effort, preach every foul word of false doctrine, offer every malicious attempt and hateful spot of persecution, no matter how vexing our vocations in the missions and fields of our work, no matter how tempted we may be to throw up our hands at our feeble efforts to resist this enemy, no matter how flummoxed we may be over our inadequacies to deal with these seemingly insurmountable obstacles thrown at us by the rulers, the authorities, the powers of the cosmos in this present darkness, no matter the magnitude of the sheer evil that we encounter together as we strive to advance the gospel under God's grace and strength. Yes, even in confronting the depth of our own sin and the flaming darts of the enemy, here is your Savior. In his word, he's come with redemption and forgiveness. For you, in your place, fights this valiant one. He's here by your side upon the plain of the final and bloody battlefield. So, brothers, stand and fight and know this for certain. You are in the possession of the conquering Lamb of God who has borne away the sins of the world. He alone is the most precious armor that will never fail, never falter, always protect until that glorious moment when all wars cease. In the name of Jesus, amen.